So good to be with you again, beloved. I'm glad they sang Silent Night. I don't feel that we were singing Christmas songs until we get to Silent Night. This thing about Silent Night. That's what a beautiful hymn that is. I promised earlier when we were speaking on our Messiah was king and prophet and priest, that we're going to have a lot to say about Bethlehem in this session. Bethlehem means the house of bread. Bethlehem is the place of Messiah's birth. Bethlehem is mentioned a whole lot of times before you come to the Christmas story in the New Testament. I want us to read from the book of Ruth in chapter 1. The book of Ruth, what a wonderful story this book is. It's a story about the kinsman redeemer. And that's what our Lord was when he came into this world. He came to redeem. It says, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem them that are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. He came to redeem us. And he came to Bethlehem. But Bethlehem and his coming was foreshadowed earlier. We're going to read from the book of Ruth. What a beautiful story this is, but we can't read the whole thing. Except to say that Naomi had lost a husband and her two sons, and she took her daughter-in-laws, Orpah and Ruth, and she encouraged them to go back. What a sad thing that is, to go back to their people. And Orpah went back, sadly, but she went back. But Ruth decided to stay and to stick with Naomi. And that's the story we're going to pick up here. Verse 16 says this, and Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to turn away from following after thee. Where thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly determined to go with her, then she ceased speaking unto her. So the two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? Excuse me. And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why call thee me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Naomi was, I know she was hurt, but she was so short-sighted. First of all, she was giving bad advice to her daughters-in-law. She wanted them to go back to paganism. And Ruth, and in Ruth's story, we can see the unfolding of the purposes of God. Naomi says, call me Mara. I'm very bitter. Call me Mara. Don't call me. Don't call me Naomi. Don't call me pleasant. She said, I have nothing. I went out full and I came back empty. Not really. I said short-sighted, because in verse 1 of chapter 2 it says, Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. Empty? Not really. And in this book, we will see the unfolding of the purpose of God. Because everything was leading up to Bethlehem. Bethlehem. Now, the first mention of Bethlehem in the Bible, we find that Bethlehem is a place of sorrow and sadness. Even though it was the city of motherhood, it was motherhood in relation to death. The first mention of Bethlehem in the Bible is in chapter 35 of Genesis. And this lady was going to come up again in Bethlehem. Verse 16 says of chapter 35, and they journeyed from Bethel. And there was but a little way to come to Ephrath, that's the ancient name of Bethlehem. And Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass when she was in hard labor that the midwife said unto her, fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. And Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephrath, which is Bethlehem. Bethlehem, a place of motherhood, motherhood in relation to death. Sorrow at Bethlehem, as Rachel died in childbirth. Before she died, she says, call my son Benoni. Call him the son of my sorrow. His father said, no, call him Benjamin. Call him the son of my right hand. You'd find that the Lord Jesus, He fits both bills here. He fit the bill as the son of sorrow, because when he came into this world, he was the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But he's also highly exalted at the Father's right hand, a prince and a savior. Benoni, sorrow. Benjamin, son of my right hand. So the first mention of Bethlehem in the Bible, it tells us of sorrow and sadness. We know how Jacob loved Rachel. I mean, there was nothing too hard for him to do to be able to marry this girl. It was the love of his life. And he had to bury her. And he had to bury her at Bethlehem. She's going to come up again, Bethlehem. The prophet Jeremiah spoke of Rachel again in Jeremiah 31, sadness at Bethlehem. And he says, it's going to happen again. There's going to be weeping. There's going to be sadness at Bethlehem again. And so he prophesied in Jeremiah 31 and verse 15, thus said the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel weeping for her children and refused to be comforted for the children because they are not, they are dead. What's the fulfillment of that prophecy? You know it very well. When Herod sent the wise men to Bethlehem to inquire of the child, and they were instructed not to return to Herod in Matthew chapter 2. When Herod saw that he was mocked of the wise men, Matthew chapter 2, here it is. Verse 16 says, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceedingly angry and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all in all its borders from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled. That's the prophecy of Jeremiah. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not, they are dead. The picture is these women having lost their baby boys as they held their heads or their stomachs. You know how all women grieve for their sons or their children. And they must have had to cross over the grave of Rachel, and she was pictured weeping with them because she represents motherhood in Bethlehem and sadness. Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. Bethlehem, first of all, is a place of sorrow and sadness. Place of motherhood in relation to death. We know that you cannot divorce Bethlehem from Calvary. We know that. You read the scriptures and you know you have to associate Bethlehem with Calvary. You cannot divorce them. And this is very clear in the Bible. Look at the Magi as they came and they found the child Jesus and they presented unto him gifts, gold, because he was king. He was deity. They gave him gold and they gave him frankincense because of his holy, spotless life, the fragrance that ascended, that wafted up to the nostrils of God. But they also gave him symbolic of death. You can't divorce Bethlehem from Calvary. When you turn to Luke chapter 2, you think of the servant of the Lord, Simeon. God had promised him, you will not see death before you had seen the Lord's Christ. And they brought the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. Luke chapter 2, you can read that in verse 25 and on, but 34 and 35, what we're referring to here. And he took the child Jesus up in his arms, and he blessed God and said, Lord, let us now thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light, he said, to lighten the nations and the glory of thy people Israel. That's not all he said. He turned to Mary, the mother of Jesus. Oh yes, this is where we link Bethlehem with Calvary. And he said, this child is set for the rising and fall again of many in Israel, and for a sign that shall be spoken against. He said, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. What was he talking about? Oh, Mary, you're going to feel that sword going through your soul. And we read in John's Gospel, chapter 19, as Mary stood beneath the cross of Jesus, and she looked at the mangled body of her son, disfigured and bleeding, and she heard that voice coming from him, woman, behold thy son. And he said to that disciple whom he loved, we believe it's John, behold thy mother. A sword. How would you feel if that was your son hanging there? A sword shall pierce through thine own soul also. You speak of the sword, you speak of the judgment that came down on our Lord Jesus Christ. Jehovah bade his sword awake, we sing, O Christ, it woke against thee. Thy soul, its flaming blade must slay, thine heart, its sheath must be. All for my sake, my peace to make, now sleeps that sword. Bethlehem, place of sorrow, tears. Sorrow for Mary. She always had that in her heart. She remembered, she pondered these things in her heart. All the things that were said of her son, the Bible says she pondered them in her heart. And she must have remembered the words of the aged man of God. A sword shall pierce through thine own soul also. The thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Bethlehem. Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. It should have been a joyous occasion. It should have been a wonderful celebration because the people who sat in darkness saw great light. Light has come. But there was that Edomian despot who earned his dishonorable mention in the annals of infamy. He went and he slew the boys, because he felt threatened, because he was an impostor, and brought tears and agony and pain to a time that should have been a celebration. But as we look at Bethlehem, not only was it the place of sorrow and sadness, it was the place of sovereignty. God overruled. God intervened. Here is this Moabitish damsel. She don't know too much about God, about Abraham's people. But she recognized that there was something. She must have seen it in her husband and her father-in-law. She says, don't tell me to leave. Don't cause me to leave. Don't send me back. I want to go where you are going. I want to dwell where you are dwelling. I want your people to be my people. And your God to be my God. She was a Moab. But God intervened. God's sovereign will. God moved on the heart of that Moabitess damsel. And when Naomi saw that she was steadfastly determined to go. There's bread again in Bethlehem. There's food. Let us go to Bethlehem. You know who that Moabitess damsel became? She became the great grandmother of David the king. Yes. Because God brought her to that mighty man of wealth, Boaz, that kinsman redeemer. And they got together and they had a son and they called his name Obed. And they had a son and they called his name Jesse. And they had a son and they called his name David. David the king. In Bethlehem. That was David's town, you know. That was David's city. Naomi says, I'm empty. I'm sorrowful. Don't call me. Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. Call me bitter. Sometimes, beloved, we don't understand how God moves. The hymn writer said, God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. She came back to Bethlehem saying, I have nothing. And God is against me, and God has testified against me. And here it is, it says here, Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech's, and his name was Boaz. He was the kinsman redeemer. He was the one who was going to change things through the purposes of God. And when you are bitter, beloved, remember the Lord. The Lord works in mysterious way. I love this hymn. One verse says, his purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. You know what the flower was? When Mary held Obed in her arms and became nurse unto him. That's not empty, beloved. She became nurse unto him. Nurse unto the grandfather, David the king. Oh, he says, God gives us beauty for ashes, a garland for the ashes of suffering. He gives us joy for sadness. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Call me Mara. Call me bitter, because the Almighty hath testified against me. I went out full, she says, but I came back empty. Little did she know that God was working out his purpose. He was bringing back a Moabitess damsel who would catch the sight of Boaz. Boaz saw this lady. He says, who is she? And they told him, this is the young woman that came back with Naomi. I don't know about you, beloved. I don't think Boaz took his eyes off of Ruth after that. Man, he said, tell her, you better treat her right. You better drop a lot of grain that she can have. Be very nice to her. But what a story of redemption here. The kinsman. It says of Ruth. Naomi says she came back empty. It says of Ruth. Naomi had a daughter-in-law. Who loved her who was better to her than 7 sons. She didn't realize it until she held Obed in her arms, though. What an unfolding of the purposes of God, a kinsman redeemer. I like to read the first 6 verses of Matthew because to me this is so precious. This is what it's about here, beloved. He says, a book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judah and his brethren. We read about Judah this morning. And Judah begot Perez and Zerah of Tamar, and Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram, and Ram begot Amminadab, and Amminadab begot Nashon, and Nashon begot Salmon, and Salmon begot Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begot Obed of Ruth, and Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king. And Jesse begot David the king. And I see Samuel, we're getting mourning for Saul, and God would say to him, how long are you going to mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from being king? Take your horn and fill it with oil. I'm going to send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite. For I have chosen me a king from among his sons. Oh, short-sighted Jesse, he brought in Abinadab, and he brought in Shammah, and he brought in all the big boys. Samuel was fooled for the first time, but then after that he recognized that God was looking not for a man who was head and shoulders above everyone else, but a man after his own heart. He said, don't look on his appearance, don't look on his countenance, for I have rejected him. Paraded 7 sons before Samuel, and Samuel said, the Lord hasn't chosen any of these. And he said, Are all your sons here? Never mind, let them look you over, let them go over you, let them go over you. It doesn't matter. You are God's chosen, and you will come to the front in God's own time. Are all your sons here? He says, only the boy back there. He's looking after the sheep. He said, bring him here. We're not going anywhere. We're not even going to eat until he gets here. They brought in this ruddy-looking, smooth-skinned boy. But Samuel said, this is he. This is he. David. Oh, what a man. A man after God's own heart. Boaz was a kinsman, and Naomi recognized he was a kinsman, and she encouraged Ruth to let him know that he was near of kin. He was near of kin. I don't have the time to read through the book of Ruth, but I'm trusting that you have, and you understand what I'm talking about. You've been through this book yourself. He says, I don't have time. He says, listen, he is a near kinsman, and you need to go and let him know that. And you know what happened when she went and lay down at his feet and everything else. Quite proper, according to the custom. Quite proper. And Boaz says, yes, I am a kinsman. She let him know that he was a kinsman and that he had a right of redemption. Oh, but he said, I am a near kinsman, but he said, there is a kinsman nearer than I. There's someone who is preferred before me. There's someone who is closer than I am. He has the first rights of redemption, and I'm going to give him that chance. And if he fails to redeem, then I am next in line. We all know what happened. He offered the kinsman all the property of Elimelech where he can redeem it. And he said, yes, I'm going to redeem it. I'm going to redeem it. Yes, I'm going to redeem it. Oh, of course I'm going to redeem it. He said, at the same time, when you redeem that which is Elimelech's, you have to redeem Mahlon's as well, Ruth's husband. You know what that means. You got to marry this girl and you have to raise up seed to the dead. And he said, oh, I cannot. I cannot redeem it. I cannot redeem it lest I mar mine inheritance. Happened at Bethlehem. I'm going to mar my inheritance. He says, you redeem it for me. You are next in line. You redeem it. And they had the ceremony and everything, and it became legal. They had all the 10 judges there. That represents the law. And everything was done. And Ruth and Boaz came together. When I think of the redemption and the kinsman that was nearer and couldn't redeem, I think of what the Bible says, that what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned the sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The 10 judges gathered together representing the law, and they couldn't. This near kinsman couldn't, because he says, I'm going to mar mine own inheritance. You see, there are two laws that were involved in this transaction. When he bought the land, he redeemed it because it had to stay in the family. And the second law was the levirate law, that if you redeem it and you redeem the wife of the dead, you have to raise up seed for the dead. The levirate law. He said, I can't redeem it. I can't redeem it. Oh, but I love it. Our kinsman redeemer came, and the law couldn't redeem us. He came and he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. He came and the word became flesh, the Bible says, and he tabernacled among us, and we beheld his glory. Glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He is our Boaz. He is our kinsman redeemer. He is the one who redeemed us. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. Bethlehem, the place of sovereignty. Bethlehem, it's the place of salvation. Bethlehem, the place of salvation. You know, when Herod inquired of the scribes what time the star appeared, and we don't know what time this happened. When he inquired where the Christ should be born, rather, where the Christ should be born, they told him, I love this, they told him, in Bethlehem of Judea. How did they know that? They said to him, it is written. That reminds you of anyone? It reminds me of my blessed Lord when he said to Satan, it is written. They told him, it is written in Bethlehem of Judea. Where was it written? Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. But thou Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. It's going to happen in Bethlehem. How do I know? Because it is written. It is written. Oh, Herod might have been a despot, but he needed to know. He needed a definite answer. And the scribes told him, you see, they were custodians of the record of the scriptures. And they told him, in Bethlehem of Judea. He wasn't born in Galilee, you know. He wasn't born in Galilee. He wasn't born in that despised place where no one want to be associated with you. He wasn't born there. He was born in Bethlehem. Well, Galilee and was very, very dear to him, but he wasn't born there. And the Bible says he wasn't born there. God overruled, and God sent Mary, being great with child and husband, Joseph, to Bethlehem to be registered because he was of the house and lineage of David. God worked it out. God's purposes were ripe and fast, unfolding every hour. Listen to what it says in Bethlehem, the place of salvation. Matthew 1:20 says, "But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." Jehovah is salvation. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Bethlehem, the place of salvation. The angel said unto you, Luke 2:11, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. That's what we celebrated. This whole past month we were talking about him. A Savior of Bethlehem, place of salvation. That's why the shepherd said, let us go. Let us go to Bethlehem. After they talked with the angels, they said, let us go where? To Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. That's part of this Bethlehem story. That's all we have time for, beloved. Bethlehem. Come to Bethlehem and see him whose birth the angels sang. Come adore on bended knee, Jesus Christ, the newborn King. Glory in excelsis Deo. Forget about it. It wasn't Galilee. It was Bethlehem. Place of his birth. The house of bread. Sadness, motherhood, sovereignty, but salvation. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. God bless his word. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for our Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this world to save sinners. Said, I am come to seek and to save that which was lost. We rejoice this morning that Christ came. He came to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. He came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. We thank you for this glorious time of year. And we remember the glorious message coming through the air. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. We ask thy blessing on thy word to the hearts of thy people here today. And if there's anyone here who haven't met the Savior, who haven't met the Christ who was born in Bethlehem, may they come to know him today, whom to know is life eternal. Thank you for bringing us together. Thank you for the privilege of remembering him in the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the cup, proclaiming his death until he comes. Watch over us now as we part the one from the other, Lord. Take us to our respective homes in peace and in safety. May his grace and favor rest upon us and upon thy people everywhere. We pray and give thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.